Please do take a seat for a moment, and I'd love you to turn up in your Bibles, page 585. And children, I'd love you to come and gather at the front here, but I'd like you to stand like soldiers, like yesterday. So let's stand at the front here. And we're going to pray, and then we're all going to stand. Let's pray. As we turn to the Bible, it was said yesterday, here is wisdom, this is the royal law, these are the lively oracles of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to each one of us from what we're about to read in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's imagine we're at the coronation, so I'd like to invite us all to stand. We've got a red carpet, we've got the Archbishop of Canterbury present with us. We have a replica crown knitted by Jane that looks better than the real crown. We've got a throne. And now cue the royal music as we hear what God said about not this king of this land, but the eternal king of all of heaven. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like the rain falling on mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his day may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Verse 12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. Verse 17. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun, then all nations will be blessed through him. Amen and amen. Let's take a seat. Let's take a seat. Now, one of the best things about being a Christian is having Jesus as your king. That's what this psalm is all about. It's a great thing, children, having Jesus as your king. And Jesus came not just as a king of one country, but of everyone through all of time. And I just want to show you this morning, whether you're here and you'd say you're a Christian believer or whether you'd say, actually, I'm not a Christian yet, I want to show you why that's such a great thing and why someone would write a song about it, which is what this bit of the Bible is. It's a song. And why they might say, verse 18, praise be to God. Now, why would you praise God massively for a king? And then verse 19, why he wants everyone in the whole world to know him. Just as many, many, I guess billions yesterday tuned in to watch that coronation. The writer here wants everyone to tune in to this greater king. Why is it such a great thing having Jesus as our king? Well, let's have a think together, shall we? And the first thing that... I think I always get this wrong. Somebody said it's human error. It's definitely not the technology, I was told last week. Why is it such a great thing, children, having Jesus as our king? Well, according to this passage here, a king should bring, here's the first thing, a king should bring safety. And adults, we can see that in verse 4 there, verse 4. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush. Can you do a big crush with me? Crush the oppressor. In other words, children, kings were supposed to take on baddies and keep the people safe and mean that grown-ups don't need to worry and be a little bit like Marvel heroes. Like King David, when Goliath, the great giant, stepped up and all the people were trembling, and David stood up and he took him on. And he took him down. And all the people could go, oh, we're safe. We're not strong enough. But the king is. Perhaps that's why there was so much of the armed forces yesterday. Because a king was to rally the army when a war breaks out. They're to call the police to keep the streets safe. They are, verse 2, to bring justice when stuff does go wrong. And so that evil can't run riot. Now, nothing is perfect, but it strikes me we should give thanks for the way in which we see some of this safety in the UK, shouldn't we? And Richard Brunton can tell you later about countries that he's been to where there's barely any government, and it's a scary thing. The Bible book of Judges speaks of a time when Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit, and it was terrible. Children, a bit like a school with no teachers, and where the biggest kids can come along and they can grab your packed lunch and just take it away. A king should bring safety. And if that king could get his goodness right into our hearts and homes, if he could get it right in there, if his throne was set up inside me, well, he'd better be the right sort of person if you're going to allow that kind of power. But if he could, he could make me safe on the deepest level as he brought his goodness right into my heart. A king should bring safety. Here's the second thing the psalm says. A king should bring happiness. A king should bring happiness. Have a look at verse 3 with me. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people. Verse 7, in his day, prosperity abounds. Now, prosperity, children, means when the shops aren't empty and there's no more pasta or eggs, but when they're brimming. Okay, prosperity means in an all-age talk, when you're not given a breadstick or not even just a normal biscuit, but a chocolate biscuit. And we'll have those a little bit later. And if you want to know what prosperity is, come on the church camp in a few weeks' time. When we get these, we get a large marshmallow, toast it, stuff it between them, and then eat it. That's prosperity. Last summer, we were going along the high street, and the ice cream van music goes, dee-dee-dee-dee. And I think it was Lydia or Tabitha said, "Mummy, can I have an ice cream?" And the ice cream man leant out the window at the train crossing and handed 3 free ice creams to our children. Now that's prosperity, isn't it? It's food, it's happiness, it's holidays, it's feasting. That's the vision here. That's what life was like in the Garden of Eden. And it's what things were like under King Solomon. In part, I guess, because things were stable under that kind of leadership. And so the economy could prosper. That's the kind of right-wing answer, isn't it? In part, because things were shared. So at Solomon's table, thousands of people for whom things had turned a little bit tough for them got to share his food. That's the left-wing answer, isn't it? Godly kings generally, here's the point of this passage, godly kings bring prosperity and happiness. But verse 17, if you look down, hints at a greater happiness. That all nations, this is a promise that was made to Abraham, all nations will be blessed, will be happy. So that the curse of God at our sin, and that's why the world is in a mess ultimately, because of human sin and selfishness and the curse of God. And that curse would be lifted through this king. And the blessing of God would pour down like rain on the world. Okay, there's a third thing that a king should bring. And the third thing is, I wonder if someone can shout it out for me. Love. Okay, let's go through them. So the king should bring safety. The king should bring happiness. And the king should bring love. So verse 12, he will deliver. Verse 13, he will take pity. Verse 14, he will rescue. Why? Now have a look for yourself at this. Verse 14. Why will the king rescue? For precious is their blood in his sight. Now that's a very, very wonderful phrase, isn't it? The kind of king God wants for his people loves them, views every individual as precious. And because he loves them, they love him. So verse 15, long may he live, says the people. May the people ever pray for him and bless him. And that's a wonderful vision of authority, isn't it? That loves the people and the people love him. Now this song is actually 3,000 years old. And the people back then just longed for leadership like this. Safety, happiness, love. The problem is, who could do it? Who could do it? Now, there's a book in the Bible, children, two books in the Bible called 1 and 2 Kings. And they're basically a long list of names like this. Ahaz, Uzziah, Amon, Nadab. There's some good names down there. But each of these are kings that the people had. And I guess at each of their coronations, there might have been a sense of hope. And I gather this psalm would have been often read at a kind of coronation service. And the hope rises. Maybe this king will bring safety, happiness, love. No. Oh, maybe this king will bring safety, happiness, and love. Oh, no. Oh, maybe this leader can bring it for us. No. None of the kings could. You see, the problem is, well done, children. You're well ahead of the grown-ups. You're well ahead of the grown-ups. Do you know the problem with all human leaders? And this is true of any leader that you respect or look up to. They're not loving enough to actually all the time want to help. They're not wise enough that even if they did want to help, they'd be able to know how to solve the problems. And they're not powerful enough to be able to deliver on the things that they even wish they could do. No one can really sit on this throne. And so my guess is this psalm, yeah, well done, Charlie. My guess is that as this psalm was read for years and years and years, and the word may he do this, may he do that, there was a kind of sense of, yeah, right. Can you say that with me? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And that's how we can all end up feeling about the promises that are made in this world, can't we? Now, the Bible tells us that we're to respect all leaders and to pray for them. And this psalm is a great, gives us a great number of things to pray for King Charles and for Prime Minister Sunak. And we should do that as we have. But the Bible also tells us not to put too much hope in any human leader. But that doesn't leave us cynical or hopeless, like quite a lot of the people that we live around. Because, you spotted it, at the end of the list, after all the kings had run out, God sent another king. He'd come from heaven, and he alone could sit on the throne. Now, we're gonna learn a bit more about Jesus in a moment, but let's pause and let's sing a song about how Jesus is greater than the greatest heroes. Let's all stand.
Greater than the greatest hero, Jesus, closer than the closest friend. He came from heaven and he died to save us. Show us love and never end. Son of God and the Lord of glory is the light. Follow in his way, he's the truth. And if he truly needs it, he is the light he's living today.
Very good voices, everyone. Let's grab a seat. A king should bring safety, happiness, and love. But the second thing we're going to see is that only Jesus does. Only Jesus does. So here's this great throne. Children, can I sit on this throne?
No,
because I can't bring those things, can I? What about Roland? Because he's really wise. Can he sit on the throne? Okay, what about Charlie? Because he's really quick. What about Grayson? Because he's become a big brother. Is he allowed to sit on there? No. There is no one who could. And even the very best of the leaders, even the very best of the leaders failed again and again and again. But there was one person who was sent from heaven.
Jesus.
And verse 1 tells us about him, if we look down again, that here was a king who was endowed by God with perfect justice. So he always got it just right. And it is definitely Jesus. He was someone who, verse 14, saw people's blood as so precious that, in fact, he shed his own blood for them. That's what this king was like. Or verse 17, his name endured even down to us. Even though he was only born in a stable, grew up as a carpenter and never wrote a book or had any sort of human influence. He just died. And, of course, it is, as you know, Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't come just to be a king of one country, but of everyone. But do you know what he did that was very different? He didn't set up a kind of kingdom with, like, an army and boundaries and castles and things like that. Jesus didn't set up that kind of kingdom. He came to set up his kingdom like this, right into people's hearts. So he came to set up his kingdom right inside the human heart. And if I could put it a little bit like this, inside each of our hearts is a throne, right in the middle of our hearts. And King Jesus wants to come and sit on the throne of your heart. And as he does that, he's going to bring his safety, happiness, and love if we let him in. King Jesus wants to come and do that for us. Now, here's the question. How do we actually feel about Jesus coming and being the boss? Let me ask you a quick question, children. When you're outside and you're playing in the mud or having lots of fun climbing a tree or something like that, and your mum or dad call and go, "Come on in now," how do you feel? How do you feel?
Sad.
Sad? I'll tell you how I feel. Like that. Okay, because sometimes it's great having mums and dads in charge, but sometimes we want to be in charge. Another example. Imagine there's a really large piece of cake on a plate and it's just in front of you. And then a grown-up says, "You need to share that." How do you feel? Do you like share? You might share it. But sometimes, again, you feel... Now, listen. This is exactly the same way that grown-ups feel when they see a speeding sign. Isn't it? Because all of us like to close ourselves off to authority. And the great danger is that we close ourselves off to Jesus, even though he made us, and he's a great king, and he knows just how life works, and he wants to bring happiness into our lives We all of us want to just close ourselves off to him. Now, can I tell you why that is? Okay, here's one reason. Some of us have been so hurt by others in authority in our lives that actually we just want to close the whole world out. And I can understand that. Of course, the problem is that what you're finding is as you close everyone out, you're still falling apart because you can't actually live like that. And what this psalm is saying, God is saying to you is, would you open your heart, maybe to no one else, but you can trust my King, my Saviour, Jesus, because he really is like this. Another way in which we close out the world is many of us have actually been brought up and we've been told that somebody should be on this throne and it's you. You should be the king of your own heart and throne. That's what we're being brought up in this society to believe, that don't let anyone else tell you what to do because you're the boss of your own destiny. You're the captain of your soul. And that's how life goes well. And again, I can sympathize with that because there's a whole load of bad influences that we don't want to let in. Okay? Follow your own heart. Now, I reckon the children might be able to help us with this. Anyone been lost in somewhere like Asda, where you lost your mum or dad? Anyone ever been lost?
The co-op.
The co-op. You got lost in the co-op. How did you... It's quite small in there. Is it? How did you feel when you were lost?
Scared.
Anyone else? Has anyone ever been lost? You've got better parents, I think. Yeah, Tim got lost in Tesco's once. How did you feel, Tim? What about when you've cut your knee or something sad has happened? Who do you want? God and mum and daddy, don't you? Yeah? That's what we want when things go wrong, okay? Because the truth is that we've all been made for authority and the loving care that someone more powerful and more wise can bring to us, whether that's a mum or dad or whether that's ultimately Jesus. And I think a big reason there's so much fear, anxiety, lostness today is people have done this. They've shut Jesus out. And often, actually, everyone else out as well. I'll be the king of my own life. It sounds very liberated, doesn't it? But actually, it's deeply scary when something goes wrong. And it's very, very lonely. And I just think there are probably quite a lot of grown-ups who are walking around this world who are really like lost little children. You see, the problem is, if we don't let Jesus come in, sin will come in anyway. And other people will influence us anyway. Because we're never really in control of our own lives. And even if we were, we would make a royal hash of it, wouldn't we? And many of us can testify that if the person who's in charge of your heart isn't like this psalm, it screws up your whole life. All the regrets and mess in my life are the times when I didn't listen to King Jesus. And I closed him out. So this psalm is saying to us, if we have our next heading, let him in. Let him in. Here's your heart, children. And it's saying, let Jesus in. And let him have the throne. And let him be in charge. What does that mean? What does that mean? Practically, what does it mean? It doesn't mean something token, like how we might respond to King Charles. And I don't know whether you had a scone and cream, and you thought, yes, I'm responding to the king by eating a scone and saying, God save the king. And for some people, that is really the only response they have to King Jesus, but that's not what this is talking about. It means letting Jesus come in to save and love you. And we'll remember in the Lord's Supper in a moment that he can do that, because Jesus brings us safety, happiness, and love, because at the cross, as he died, he gave up those things that he deserved, the happiness of heaven, the love of his Father. And he said, I'm going to lay those down so that you can be rescued. And so as we let him in, we're saying, I'm humble enough to receive that from Jesus. It also means letting King Jesus rule us and command us and change us. Now, children, I think, again, you might just better help the grown-ups with this, okay? Are you happier when you're snatching or when you're sharing? Okay, you could definitely have an extra biscuit later on. Okay. Are we happier when we're fighting to get someone else back or when we're forgiving? Okay, you can all have a biscuit later on. Now, isn't that interesting? Because those are two things that actually King Jesus tells us to do that nearly no one else actually particularly does. And they came from him all those years ago. To listen to King Jesus about sharing or forgiving brings happiness into our homes ultimately, and so too for adults. So in his royal word, he tells us to forgive. He tells us to put each other first in any relationships. That's what real love is, that it's sacrifice. Rather than, what am I getting out of this? He tells us that we need to find peace in prayer and a whole load of other things. And actually, as we're listening to Jesus, happiness enters into our hearts and homes. You see, it's a great thing having Jesus as our King. Now, just as we wrap up, I'm going to give the children a biscuit. And I want to just apply this very briefly to the adults. I'm going to ask Tim to be in charge of the biscuits. And there's one each. But you need to check with the grown-up, because it might be that some of you aren't allowed a chocolate biscuit, in which case it's a hard one. Now, just as the children have that, I'd like to just speak very briefly to the adults. And I want to share a reflection, which is, I think it's very, very easy to respond to Jesus and to say, I'll let a little bit of your grace and forgiveness come in, but I'm not particularly interested in you coming in as king. Many years ago, that used to be described as accepting Jesus as Saviour, but not as Lord. I don't know if you've heard that before. Can't actually do that. But it's easy to have that kind of response. So maybe in truth, there's somebody here who've never really actually let Jesus come in and sit on the throne of your life. So we come to church to hear some nice words that encourage us a little bit about acceptance and grace and forgiveness. But any commands that we hear, any like, you've got to change something, any challenge, and there's just a within us. Don't like authority. Don't tell me what to do. There's no sense of I'm going to ever change or listen unless, well, it's just something I just really wanted to do. And the reason I share that is, of course, because that's what my heart's like. We might even have the modern idea that the idea of Jesus' authority shouldn't even be mentioned in church anymore. We don't like authority. We don't think it's good. The problem is, this psalm would say to us that only in as much as you let Jesus rule you, will you experience the safety, happiness, and love that he wants to bring. So let him in. And if there's an area that you're actually just closing off in your heart to him, give it over. It's a great thing having Jesus as your king. If you have, I hope this psalm just helps you celebrate that. Celebrate it. Don't be ashamed of this truth with friends when you're sharing your Christian faith. I love having somebody who's wiser than me, who can lead me, who can protect me, who can keep me safe in this anxious world. And don't hold back any area. For the more you let him rule you, the more you'll know his blessing in your life. And our next song is really a prayer that, it's an old song, I think, but that the Lord would reign in me again. I want to encourage us to make that a personal prayer this morning. Let's have a moment's quiet as the band strike up, and then we'll stand as they lead us. Children, let's head back to our seats, shall we? Let's head back to our seats.